Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Yeah, it feels like the room's a little lopsided tonight for some reason. I was thinking the same thing. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you for the kind words, Pastor Spencer. It's always an honor. It's a little humbling when people talk about you like that. And I'm like, really? I know that last song that we sang, Lord, unless you come, I'm not enough. That I'm walk that out every time I get up here. I feel that. If not for him, I couldn't do this for sure. And I wanted to take just a minute just to talk a little bit before I got started, mainly because I'm still new with this, and I'm trying to learn. I talked to the pastor about it. I wanted to take just a minute and just step away from my notes. I do believe in notes, and I think it's good to be prepared, but I don't want to get so tied to them that I don't give the Lord a chance to move in service, and that's what I'm striving to grow towards. I've noticed leading praise and worship that the more comfortable I get, the easier it is to flow into praise and worship. So if I'm up here not able to breathe, or if I'm up here so nervous that I don't know what to say, then I get glued to that. And like I said, I don't give the Lord a chance to move. But thank you again. I come tonight to preach to you a little bit. That may be the last time I step away from my notes, just to also let y'all know that too. But I come to preach to you tonight, and I come hopefully to stir you up a little bit. And I want to do it with a question. And the question is the title of my message tonight. And the question is, are you attending church or are you being the church? And I hope just as you heard me say that right then, or you see it on the screen. I made that slide, by the way. It looks pretty good. It's my first time making any by myself. But I hope just as you heard that you begin to think what it is to be the church. And you begin to look inward and think, am I really living out God's word outside of these walls? Because I want to assure you that I'm very thankful for this building. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was a Sunday morning, I was on my way in, and I got to Marvin's down here at the stop sign, and just the overflow of gratitude started coming over my heart that, you know, thankful that we have a building. Think back to, man, thank you, Lord, that we have a home, that we have a place to meet. Thank you that we don't have to set up and tear down tables anymore. Thank you that we don't have to unload trailers. But I want to assure you tonight, the building is not the church. We are the church. Listen, we've rented buildings. We've borrowed buildings. We've had service in the park before. The building was never the church. We are the church. I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So it gets me a lot of times when I invite people to church and they tell me, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I think I'm just done with church." I'm like, "What? What? How are you done with church? You are the church. What are you talking about?" Then they go on to tell me the next famous line that I hear a lot. "Well, you just don't understand. I got church hurt." And then I give the apology like somebody died in their family. "Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I don't know why I do that, but I tend to do that a lot of times." And at first I thought, well, maybe I don't understand. I haven't been in church that long. Maybe I just haven't experienced church hurt yet. Maybe, you know, the longer I'm in there, maybe I will. But now as several years have passed and I've been able to avoid it, I realize the reason that I've been able to avoid it is just a simple equation that I try to keep on my mind and stay focused on when I'm at church and why I'm here. And I call it the joy equation. And that is, drum roll, there we go. I'm here to love God and to serve God. And I'm here to love you and to serve you. And for all my math homies in the room, I got it in an equation broke down here. Love God plus serve God multiplied by love you plus serve you minus me equals joy. I realize that if I take me out of the equation, then, well, first I realize it wasn't about me. And then I realize if I take me out of the equation, then me isn't getting offended, me isn't getting mad, me isn't getting hurt, or me isn't getting upset. It's hard for us to really get a hold of this because the world tells us right the opposite of that. The world is all me, 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 me. You got to look out for number one. That's all you ever hear. But that's worldly thinking. And I'm talking about kingdom thinking here. Kingdom thinking is I don't have to worry about me. I got a Father in heaven who provides for me and a Father who protects me, and he's fighting my battles for me. So I'm here for God, and I'm here for you, and it's that simple. But there's a saying around here that goes, Jesus is either Lord of all or not at all. And I know that it's a hard truth, but we serve a very jealous God. He's out for just our praises only. He don't want us to be giving our praises to anything or anyone else. He's not looking for people that ride the fence, and he's not looking for lukewarmness. So there came a time in my life when I had to fully submit to God. And when I fully submitted to God, I told God, Lord, here I am. I'm not much, but I'm yours. Use me however you need to, or however you see fit. And after this, that's when I started to grow. And I didn't start growing because I said the words. I started growing because I applied the words. I started putting action to it. If I could speak a word into this house, it's action. Action, action, action. That's what we got to put action to our words. And you'll see as we go along in the message tonight that's a lot of what I want to talk about. The most important thing that I realized was that I was here to serve him as he needed me to. I quit putting labels on myself, and I quit putting myself in a box. You know, we say all the time, don't put God in a box. No, don't put God in a box. Don't put limits on him. But if we're putting ourselves in a box, then we're limiting what we say that he can do or how he can use us. I stopped telling God that, well, I can't do worship because I don't know how to play an instrument. Or I can't do worship because I'm too embarrassed to sing in front of people. I stopped telling God, well, I can't lead prayer because I'm not really good at praying. Praying's just not my thing. I quit saying, well, I can't preach because I've never been to school. I don't know enough. Nobody's ever taught me anything. I finally realized that who am I to tell my Creator how he can and can't use me? And I finally started being a doer of God's word instead of just hearing about it and talking about it. If you would, please turn with me to the book of James. That's where we're going to be reading that tonight. They should have it on the screen, but if you have your Bible, please turn with me so you know that I'm not making this stuff up. Ha, ha, ha. There's... We're going to be reading James chapter 1 tonight. We're going to be reading verses 22 through 25. The epistle states that it was authored by James, the servant of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're all intended to be, servants. A servant's heart... Pastor Lauren Bonnie, if I could say anything to brag on them, they have the best servant's hearts that I've ever met in somebody and are just a real role model for all of us. Starting in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." In these verses, James calls us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. See, it's great to be in church. It's great to be planted in a church. It's great to serve in a church. But we got to realize we are the church. And this isn't just a building where we come to meet twice a week. This isn't a place where you come and just to get comfort from the outside world, but it's a place where we come to get built up in God's word so we can take it out and walk it out in our lives. Looking at verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word." The definition of doer is a person who acts instead of merely talking or thinking about something. And when I read this, it made me think of the old saying, you know, there's people who can talk the talk, but can they walk the walk? You know, we have too many Christians nowadays that can talk the talk. They can say the right things. They even know a scripture or two. We've even got good at having church and putting on church, but there's not enough of us out there walking the walk. The Greek word for doer is poietes. That's pretty good for a hillbilly. I'll just have to say, I never thought I would be saying, did I get that right? Close enough. Nobody can argue with it anyways. It's defined in the Greek as being a performer. So what James is telling us here, that we need to be a performer of the word and not just a hearer. And in verse 23 and 24, it says, "So a hearer is like looking in the mirror, then walking out of your house and forgetting what you look like." So a hearer comes to church, they hear God's word, and as soon as they go back out into the world, they just forget it. They go right back to fitting in and just doing their old life. And we hear this, and most of the time we think of the worst. We think of a drunk, or we think of an addict. We think, well, they come in, they got a touch from God, and then as soon as they went back out partying around their friends and stuff, they fell back right into their old lifestyle. But what I wanted you to do tonight is think about, are you really walking out God's word outside of these walls? Because let me tell you, it's a lot easier to praise the Lord on the front row than it is at my job. And it's a lot easier to pray for people here at the altar than it is out on the street. So I've listed a few ins and outs here. Just a few things for us to look at and respond how we're doing it inside the church versus outside the church. And I call them the three P's to being the church. And they are praise, prayer, and proclaim. Simple three words that we can all remember next week when you think about, hey, what did Pastor Jeff preach on? Oh, I can remember that. The first one that I want to start with is praising. Praising is easy for me. That's my jam. I mean, I can get into praising. I can do that all the time. That's one of them that's easy for me. Praising God needs to be part of our everyday life. And I don't want to hear, well, I can't praise because I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't praise. Praising is a heart thing. It is not words. And I want to prove this to you in Isaiah 29:13, and it's the NIV translation. And the reason that I put the NIV up here is because I really like the last line in it. It just sort of jumped off the page to me. Isaiah 29:13 NIV, they should have it up here, so y'all ain't got to turn to it. The Lord says, anytime you hear that, ears perk up, right? The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And this, the last line is what I realize. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they've been taught. So their worship's based merely on human rules. Does that sound familiar to us? If it doesn't, I'd like to say it like this right here. Their worship of me is based merely on human songs that they've been taught. Songs that somebody else wrote. Pastor Madison touched on it a little bit Sunday. If the words go off the board, do you have a song in your heart to praise God with, or are you just silent then? I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants to hear praise from you. That he wants to hear how much you love him. How much that you need him. How thankful you are for him and all that he's done for you. I want to tell you about a man in the Bible named David. We probably all heard of him. Pretty popular guy, right? King David was a man after God's own heart. And King David was a worshiper. David wrote over 70 psalms. And if you ever read any of them, these psalms, he put into words the praise that was in his heart. He tried to, you get to read them. It's like he tried to come up with new ways just to describe how awesome God was and how much he loved him. So my question is, are we praising God outside of these walls like we do on Sunday mornings? Is praise continually on our lips and in our hearts? Are we using praise as a weapon to silence the enemy? Or is it just a song lyric that we like to sing on Sundays? And then the second one is praying. Prayer is a gift from God, and it's a weapon that is so underused in Christians nowadays. Praying is something that I've really had to put effort in to grow into. It's something not like praise. Praise come easy for me. Like I said, praise is my jam. But prayer is something that I've really had to, be intentional about trying to grow in. And I always admire people that I consider to be good at praying. I always, when I seen or heard somebody praying, I always looked up to them and I respected that and wished that I could do it. But then I finally realized that these people that were leading prayer that I looked up to, the reason that they were good at praying is because they did it all the time. It wasn't that, hey, they're only praying because they got called on at church this Sunday. They've been praying and talking to God all week long. And I finally realized this back when we done our 100 Days to Glory here at the church. Thank the Lord for that. That's something that really helped me and my family grow. But back then, we took 100 days, and every evening we would get together and we, as a family, and we'd read the Bible together. We would take turns and reading Scripture, and then we would all take turns praying. And we would pray out loud, so everybody here, we'd start, let the kids start first. And the kids would always want Crystal to go last. They'd be like, let Mama go last. She takes forever to pray. She prays forever, so make her go last. But as we went on with 100 days, it got to where I was praying longer and longer. Until the end, it got to where it doesn't matter who goes, but both of y'all take a long time. So I got better as I went on. I found out the more that I talked to God, I found the easier it was to talk to God. The more that I had to say to him, the more I could communicate back and forth with him. So are we praying and talking to God outside of these walls like we do on Sundays? Is that the first time y'all prayed all week? How about that? A real touchy subject right there, but just things to think about. The last one's proclaiming. And I listed this one because we are all the time proclaiming God's word in the house of God. He is our strength. He is our joy. He is our healer. He is our provider. All these things we proclaim over our lives while we're in the church. And let me assure you, thank the Lord, they're not limited to this church. And they're not limited to these walls. So are we proclaiming his word over our lives when we're outside of these walls, especially during trials? And if you're thinking, well, because this is what I hear a lot of times, well, I just don't know enough scripture to really speak it over my life. I just really don't know enough about the Bible, or I don't know what I should say at times. Here's my answer to you. Google it. And that sounds funny, But the pastor said it the best a couple weeks ago. Hey, if you were looking to change a taillight on a 1990 Explorer, you would look it up on the internet and you would find a way to do it. If you want to know how many gallons of water was in the Tennessee River, you'd find it up. How old Donald Trump is, you would look that up and you'd find it up. So if you can look all that stuff up, you can Google God's word and figure out where it is. And here's my advice to Googling it, because I don't just want to throw you out to the wolves in the internet, but Google what scripture, you know, what is scripture on whatever my problem is or whatever you're looking to study on. See where it tells you it's at in the Bible, then go to God's word and read about it. Don't listen to Johnny B. Good in Colorado, his opinion on it, and get off on two or three different pig trails. But find out where it is in the Bible. The internet is a great tool for that. Then go to it in the Bible and read on it. So we got our three P's: praising, praying, and proclaiming. Said these are just a few examples for us to step back and look at how we react to stuff here in the church and what we're doing in the church versus outside. Tonight, I would like for you to just take time and just open your hearts and see that we can all really grow at being doers of God's word. I want to challenge you tonight. This is a challenge. Y'all accept it. I want to go ahead and say that y'all accept it. But this is a challenge. I want you to begin to ask yourself, am I walking God's word out in my life? Am I applying the things that the pastor's preaching on every week? Or am I just saying amen or coming up to the pastor and say, man, that was a good word, pastor, and then never putting any action to it through the week? This is something that I challenged myself to a couple of years ago. I realized that these were men of God, and they were taking time during the week to pray and to search out and to hear from the Lord what the Lord wanted to pour into my heart and to my life. And the least thing that I could do is try to walk it out the next week and apply it to my life. I realized that they weren't just saying this stuff just to fill up a time slot or just to sound cool. But if I would actually start applying these things in my life, they would benefit me. And not only me, they would benefit my family as well. And I'm not saying here to go out and listen and do whatever any preacher tells you to do. But what I am saying is, if they're preaching the word of God and it lines up with the word and you're agreeing to it and saying amen to it in church, we should be at least trying to apply it to our life the next week. So as I wrap this up tonight and close, I'd like to close with verse 25. It says, but in verse 25 it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So James tells us what we should be doing. If we look to God's word, if we continue in God's word and we're not fast to forget it, but be doers of his word, there, we have a promise here. This is a promise not from Jeff Tilley. This is God's word here that should be on the board, and y'all should have, see it in your Bible. This person will be blessed in what they do. So if you're looking for a blessing, here you go. There's you map out. There's your plan. I want to say, I know I'm always short-winded, but that's just me. I pray about that and try to talk to God on it, but I really feel like I'm supposed to be what I am right now. And the pastor said it best. I shouldn't be anybody else but me. And I hope that I preach something and tell you words that you can get a hold of and, just like I said, apply it the next week. So I want to thank you guys for letting me speak into y'all's life tonight, and I hope you got something from God's word tonight, and I hope it stirs something up in you. Listen, God's moving. He's moving in me, and if I can see it, I can feel it. And if he's moving in me, he's moving in us, because we're all a part of the body of Christ. But the thing is, it's your choice if you stay the same or if you submit to God and say, here I am, Lord. Use me however you see fit. I love y'all. Thank y'all very much.
I want to encourage you guys this week, those three P's, to put those into practice, to praise, pray, and proclaim. Maybe you focus on one this week. Maybe you focus on all three. But I'll tell you this. A lot of times we get so nervous about the proclaim. But the more you praise and the more you pray, the more you'll be prepared to proclaim the goodness of God. Because how can you tell someone about someone or something that you have not experienced yourself? And the reason that we struggle so much with telling people about Jesus is we're lacking the intimacy that we need to have of spending time with Jesus. And so focus on that, because these are three things that you can always get better in. You can always grow in. I can grow in praising. I can grow in praying. I can grow in proclaiming. You never master them. You can get better at them, but you never master them.
There's always room to grow. You never get to the point where you're like, you know what? I think I know all there is to know about praise. I think I've prayed every prayer there is to pray. Jesus said that, Jesus didn't say it, but it says in Luke chapter 18 of Jesus, he taught these things that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. And I want to see us get to that place, because a church without prayer is a church without power. And when Jesus spoke to the church, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's one thing that he promised to us. And so if he promised it to us, then it's available to us. But it doesn't mean that it is automatically applied to our life. Power comes from prayer. And so I want to encourage you, put these things into practice. Like he was saying, don't just sit here and go, man, that's so, look at how God's changed Jeff's life. Look at how he didn't used to pray and now he prays. Look at how he's standing up there and proclaiming the word. You go and do the same. You go, let it be an encouragement to you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Pastor Jeff, thank you for that word. What an incredible reminder, encouragement, and challenge to us to be people that are doers of the word of God, and that we would be the church. You know, Jesus looked at Peter. He said, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He chose the people of God. And in fact, when this is how I know that we're called to be the church, when the Apostle Paul, who was previously Saul, was on his donkey on the road to Damascus, and he was seeking to persecute the church. In fact, the Bible says he was wreaking havoc amongst the church. And he wanted to go and he wanted to arrest them. The Bible says he was knocked off his donkey, a great light shone, and he heard a voice from heaven, and it was the voice of Jesus. And he said, Lord, whom are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. Now, he'd been persecuting the church, which was people. And Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Because when you persecute them, you're persecuting me. And so we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the physical representation that he has left on this earth to be able to reach people and add them to the kingdom of God. And the way that we're going to do that is by praise, prayer, and proclamation. And so would you lift your hands and receive tonight? Father, I pray tonight to you. We entreat you, beseech you as the Father, believe in your promises and your faithfulness, that as we continue to praise you and lift you up, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. God, you said that your house shall be called a house of prayer. And as we pray and as we proclaim the good news, Lord, I'm praying that you would give us favor and influence and open doors to be able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ on the job, in our neighborhood, in the community. God, we don't want to just attend church. God, forgive us. Right now, we just ask that you would forgive us for the times that we've just come to church. We've just come to the building. It's our routine. It's what we do. It's how we do life. We come in and we sing a few songs and we listen to some words and then we go home. But God, forgive us for not being changed by the word. Forgive us for not carrying your kingdom into the world. God, forgive us for not truly praising you, but just going through the motions. Forgive us for not praying, but just expecting you to do things. But you said you have not because you ask not. God, forgive us for not proclaiming, but just expecting, well, somebody else will tell them. I'm not gifted. I'm not called. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for those things. Help us to take seriously what you say, God, and to be doers of the word. What was spoken to us tonight, it was not in vain. But I believe that through the power of God tonight, you spoke through Pastor Jeff. You told him what to say, and you said to us, and we respond to the word, and we're going to be doers of the word. We respond tonight, and we say, God, we submit ourselves to what you're saying, and we want to be the church. And I believe that as we are active in being obedient to be the church, God will grow the church. And so, God, I pray that you would send people from the north, the south, the east, and the west who need to hear the gospel message, who need to know you, who need a place, who need a home. And God, may we be ready for them. And we just say that we love you and we thank you so much for your faithfulness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your hands up. Receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you truly be the church, the temple of the Most High, that he has chosen to make his place and his home on earth in the hearts of men. And may you carry the goodness of God everywhere that you go. And may you give him praise. May you entreat him. And may you proclaim his goodness and his gospel and his truth everywhere that you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We love you guys. Hope to see you Sunday. Don't forget, no service next Wednesday night while we spend time with family.